Bubba Wallace here from 2311 Racing. You know what's slower than a pace car? Waiting at the car wash. That's when I fire up Chumba Casino. It turns those slow minutes into fast fun. With new games every week, you'll never get bored. Next time you're stuck in the slow lane, speed up with Chumba. Play now at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Spring is sprung, and big savings are in full bloom at Menards. Visit Menards Garden Center for everything you need to get your garden growing. Choose from hundreds of beautiful, colorful flowers, lush trees and shrubs, and everything in between. Menards Garden Center is back in bloom. Stop in today to get your garden on. Check out fresh deals happening now at Menards.
Save big money at Menards.
Final hour, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, the game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Nick Keyser here with you on this Monday morning. And as we do every Monday morning at 8 o'clock, we go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in our friend Corey Curtis from News 2. Corey, good morning. How are you?
I am fabulous. How are you today?
We are great. Appreciate you taking time to be with us. So the Titans are 2-4. It was ugly offensively yesterday, Corey, again. And now their quarterback is hurt on crutches after the game. Let's just start with the game itself, and then we'll get into Tannehill. Overall, your thoughts on the Titans' loss? It's 16 points again, which just seems to be a broken record for this Titans offense. Mm-hmm. How do you explain just what we've seen to this point through six games? I guess my question to you is this team screwed already after six games of football in a 17-game season?
No, I don't think they are. I mean, look, is there stuff that needs to be better? Absolutely. But, I mean, record-wise, it's not great, but they're certainly not out of the hunt. I mean, they've still got plenty of time left to right the ship in some areas, and the schedule gets easier. I said when the season started, if they could get through it 3-3, they would be just fine, and they could survive 2-4, I felt like, with the way the schedule was. Now, with some of their kind of glaring issues, it doesn't look quite that much, because I always say it's more about how you play than what the final score or what the outcome is to me to kind of depict where a team is going. But, you know, this game was a tough matchup, I thought, for them. For a struggling offense and a struggling offensive line to take on that defense away from home, I just knew this was not a good matchup, and this was going to be trouble, especially number one red zone defense in the NFL against the team 1-10 in the red zone, and they're three games away from Nissan Stadium. So, you know, some of the struggles weren't that surprising, but, you know, you sit here and you're sitting on 16 points, and you're looking at it and you're saying, Westbrook Ikhine drops a touchdown. You can't convert the Henry long run into a touchdown, you know. And then, you know, you're at midfield and Tannehill throws a 3rd-and-2 interception 30 yards down the field. I mean, there are correctable mistakes that put more points on the board, in my opinion. You know, there's still too many 3-and-outs. And there's, like I said, there's things to be addressed. And I'm usually a half-full kind of guy. You know, this team's not as good as I thought it was going to be, but I don't think it's the end of the world. Do I think they're a Super Bowl contender? Absolutely not. But I don't think it's necessarily the end of the world.
Well, I think they're the third worst team in the AFC right now. I mean, I hear what you're saying.
Yeah.
The schedule gets easier. And I agree with what you said there, which is, like, if you go before the season, we said that a million times, right? 3-3, they'd be fine. Yeah. Even if you told me 2-4, I'd be like, okay, they got a chance. But the way they've been, they've gotten to 2-4, to me, changes how I look at them. And I look at the schedule. At the Steelers, at the Bucks, that looks different to me. At the Jags, at the Dolphins looks different to me. Seahawks at home looks different to me. At the Texans looks way different to me. I mean,
I agree with that.
Yeah, so I don't know. I hate to be at six games, you know, throwing the towel guy. But now Tannehill, probably going to miss some games, I would think. It looks like the same thing he had last year, which he needed to get the tightrope surgery for. So now, I don't know what that means if you have a high ankle, the exact same high ankle sprain, the same side. less than a year later, but I probably wouldn't guess it's good, Corey. So if he's missing time, I think that, of course, to me, lessens their possibility of getting back in this, but then also brings up an interesting decision. If that's the case, what should Mike Vrabel do for the Falcons game?
Yeah, well, absolutely, injuries are a huge factor. And absolutely, I think without Tannehill, they're pretty much screwed the rest of the way. I mean, look, I don't know what they're seeing from Will Levis on the practice field, because we're not allowed to watch at this point. And, you know, they've continued to go with Malik as the backup, which I get because he's more experienced. But we saw once again yesterday a guy who was unsure of himself and unsure of letting the football go. And I don't know that I've ever seen a quarterback clutch the football the way he does. And the way he just – I mean, you know, first play comes out, they run the play action, he reads it, he rips it, puts it right in there, and you're like, okay, wow, good. And then just the rest of the time is just hanging onto the ball and hanging onto the ball and hanging onto the ball. Same thing that got him benched in that Tampa game in the preseason last year. He's got to be willing to let it rip at some point. And, you know, if he's not willing to let it rip, they'll give it to Levis and let him do it. And, you know, it would be nice if Levis had protection. It would be nice if he had weapons or Willis. So it'd be nice to get, you know, Treylon Burks back out there, see if they can actually do something. But I agree with you that I would be surprised if Tannehill was ready after the bye. I would think this is going to take a few weeks. And so, yeah, and I agree with all the other stuff you said, that you know, the AFC is stacked, and you know, teams are better than we expected. I mean, the Colts, even though they lost yesterday, and I don't think they're a great team, I thought they were going to be one of the three or four worst teams in the NFL, and I don't think that they are. And I thought the Texans might be in that category too. And they just and you know, DeMeco Ryans comes in as a defensive guy. They continue to put up points without some of their best offensive linemen. So I think what the Texans have done is really impressive. You don't know what's going to happen injury wise with other teams. I mean, you know, say Tua gets hurt again, the Miami game looks completely different, because like right now, Miami looks like you're just going to get boat raced. And so, you know, there are just certain games that just don't look very good at this point. I agree with all of that completely. I just know that things can change on either side of the ball for either team in a hurry.
Corey Curtis from News 2 with us here on Robbie and Rex Road. So, Corey, what about the Vrabel side of this? You know, a lot of people have asked us about him today. In terms of just some of the mistakes that we're seeing this team make, whether that's communication in the secondary, the penalties that we saw yesterday, you know, bringing Kyle Phillips back trying to catch a punt on the 5-yard line as the half's expiring and him muffing the punt and handing three points to the Ravens. They just look like a very poorly coached football team right now. What do you make of the Vrabel part of all of this?
Well, I think that, you know, the Kyle Phillips situation, you know, is it on him? Yes. Should he be able to catch the football? Yes. But there should also be the understanding before he goes out there that if the ball is like, I mean, really, there's no reason to catch the football. I mean, and there's just, I mean, you're catching it with 3 seconds left inside your 10 or 15. There's no reason to field that punt whatsoever. And, you know, that has to be, in my opinion, properly communicated, you know, before you go out there. You know, we finally see them pull the plug on Andre Dillard after the first drive of the second half, when he got dropped on Ryan Tannehill's lap yet again. And I thought Nicholas Petit-Frere was a huge improvement. I mean, they immediately started running the football over the left side, and they immediately had some room. And, you know, instead of seeing a guy on roller skates, you know, you saw a guy blocking. And I've never been like that huge of a Nicholas Petit-Frere guy, because that's why when people talk about bringing him in, I'm like, he wasn't that great last year. It wasn't terrible, but I mean, it wasn't like, yeah, he's hands down a rock solid starter in the NFL. But he was a marked improvement, and I will be stunned if he's not the left tackle when they come back from the bye. And so I'm very interested, you know, to see how that moves forward with the football team.
There's one game, of course, because of the idle week, and then they have the Falcons, and then they have the trading deadline, Corey. So
yeah.
Obviously those are discussions this week that you need to have in that building. But ultimately, do you think the Titans will be sellers? And do you think, is there anyone who comes to mind for you who might actually fetch some decent draft capital for a team that only has three picks before the seventh round in the next draft?
Yeah, it's a really good question. I know some people were projecting, you know, who could possibly, you know, be available. And what you have to consider are contracts and age and all of those things. You know, because I know immediately people think, you know, somebody's going to want to trade for Derrick Henry. And maybe they will. But if you think the Titans are getting anything more than a fourth or a fifth for Henry for half a season, I think you're kidding. You know, I think the more likely, you know, scenario would be a guy like DeNico Autry, because people are always looking, you know, for pass rushers, guys who can affect the line of scrimmage and the quarterback. And while he makes money, he doesn't have a ridiculous contract. So you know, he would be somebody that I think might be attractive to somebody who thinks they need a little more push up front down the stretch. You know, and again, a guy like Kevin Byard, you know, his cap hit is substantial. I don't know that you're going to find a reasonable trade partner for somebody like that. So you've got to look for guys with reasonable cap numbers who can affect the line of scrimmage or affect the passing game, in my opinion, you know, that to possibly, you know, to be able to make a deal with. I don't know how much is there for them on that front.
Corey Curtis from News 2, our guest here on Robbie and Rex Road, joins us every Monday morning at 8 o'clock. Corey, great stuff as always. Thanks for taking time to be with us.
No problem. Are we not going to talk about the Super Bowl contending Detroit Lions today?
I think we should.
Best team. I mean, they're tied for the best record in the NFC now, right?
5-1, baby.
Niners and Eagles somehow both lost.
And what did we talk about with the Titans? It's not necessarily what your record is, but it's kind of how you look getting there.
They look pretty good, man.
They do.
They do look good.
My 16-year-old was on site, Corey, with about 25 family members in Lions jerseys, and I weep for all of them, and I weep for my parenting failures.
Thousands dusting down there.
Dusting off the Eric Hipple and Herman Moore jersey.
Well, with the Bucks, I was like, ooh, the Bucks looking like some Steve DeBerg Bucks out there, baby. Yeah.
Yeah, they looked like the Steve DeBerg Bucks.
They did.
6 points. Yeah, and by the way, the Bucks are not a team that I look at a whole lot differently. I'm not buying.
Not buying.
They're okay. I thought they might be bad though. They're okay.
Well, yeah, no, you know what? I thought they might be like there with the. I thought they and the Colts might be three of like the worst teams in the NFL. You know, Mike Evans has had kind of a nice resurgence this year for a while with Baker Mayfield. But again, I think overall, I'm just not convinced. But by the way, I know you guys have to go. Yesterday was a weird day. I mean, yesterday was a weird day in the NFL. I mean, we saw, you know, that Jalen Hurts with the inexplicably horrible interception down the stretch, and the Eagles losing for the first time ever to the Jets in a game they should have won in every respect. And then, you know, we had the other monster upset with, you know, Brock Purdy looking like Mr. Irrelevant instead of Tom Brady 2.0. I mean, yesterday was the day the offenses really came crashing to earth and the defenses, you know, rose up. You know, points were way down all across the league, which really opens things up to there being upsets. And it's really kind of what makes the NFL so great, because it's not college football. It's not Arkansas State versus Alabama. You know, every week, you know, you've got, you know, dudes on the field. And this is why, like, I don't panic at 2-4. I'm not optimistic, but I don't panic, because every team in the NFL, you know, that margin between good and bad is not that far. You know, can you make up that margin? That remains to be seen. But, you know, you see it. And you see teams that were good all of a sudden be bad. and because that margin is not that far, because that's just the way the league is set up to be.
Well said. Corey, thank you, sir. We appreciate it.
All right, you guys have a good one.
You as well. Corey Curtis from News 2, our guest on Robbie and Rex Road. We'll continue the conversation on the Titans. They lose 24-16 to the Baltimore Ravens yesterday. Ryan Tannehill now hurt. What should the plan be for the Titans at quarterback as they move forward here? All that next. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Nick Keyser here with you on this Monday morning. Taking your thoughts on the Titans, 615-737-1025. By the way, got some tickets to give away. A pair of tickets to see Anita Baker at Bridgestone Arena coming up on Thursday, October 26th. Be caller number 5, 615-737-1025, our phone number. Caller number 5 will win a pair of tickets to see Anita Baker at Bridgestone Arena coming up on Thursday, October 26th.
You know, Corey brought up a good point, and I just asked you because I fell asleep. I fell asleep right after the horrific run at the goal line for the Giants. How many teams have done that? Titans have done it. You know, just sacrifice points with just a terrible decision. And you told me the Bills won that game 14-9.
Correct.
I didn't even realize that until just now, which speaks to what Corey just said. What a horrible offensive week and a great defensive week. I mean, P.J. Harvey's out there, you know. You know, but to that point, Zach, football and other F-words, F-word, at F-words pod, he has a lot of good advanced stats putting out every week. Okay. Total EPA per play for the Titans. Again, EPA, expected points added, but basically it's just a success with trying to make all things being equal, right, essentially, like trying to put into context what you did. EPA per play was 12th for the Titans. Success rate, 12th. Pass EPA was 13th. Success rate, 16th. Rush EPA, 12th. And success rate, 19th. So, like, they were, you know, middle, a little bit higher than, better than average yesterday. That's how bad the NFL was yesterday.
So what you're saying is not all hope is lost.
Yeah, I got to say, Corey might be a little optimistic. He might be a – and I – on the one hand, like, it is six games. Like, right now, this is the thing that you got to keep in mind here with the Titans. Mike Vrabel right now is 2-4 and is going to do everything he can to win moving forward. So he's taking notes on every single bit of they're screwed, they're toast, they're bad, they're awful. He's like that Ryan from The Office GIF with his little notepad, keeping it down. He's taking notes. So he – in that building, when you consider how much is put into winning in a league that it's hard to win, but also a league that it's hard to discount many teams because it's so close, Corey is right about that. He's going to try to win. Now, the trading deadline and the Tannehill injury make it interesting in terms of if you start selling off parts, then it's time to think about the future. But, man, I can't imagine that's at all comfortable for Mike Vrabel. That's never happened in his coaching career.
No. And like we said, he's been in this situation before, 4 years ago, where they're 2-4 and really all hope looks lost and they look like they're on the path to being one of the worst teams in the league. And we remember what happened then. They switched the quarterback. The offensive line starts to gel and the Titans figure it out and they go to the AFC title game. Problem is, like, the solutions that came about on that team, I'm not sure exist on this one. Like the offensive line, you know, Corey alluded to it. Petit Frere steps in. Maybe there's hope that he provides some stability at left tackle where they're just not completely terrible over there. And maybe the offensive line moves from terrible to slightly below average. Like right now, that's the best hope for the offensive line to me, is if you, can you get to slightly below average? Because they're awful right now.
Yeah, I didn't think that Petit Frere set the world on fire, but he's better than Dillard.
He's better than Dillard. So I guess that's your one bit of hope there. But other than that, Joe, like the receiving core right now, like DeAndre Hopkins is good. Which, by the way, we got Ken and Waverly on the text line talking about, like, you guys are so out of touch with reality with the team. Hopkins has one 100-yard receiving game. He's been trash. Like what? Like, have you watched DeAndre Hopkins play so far this year?
I thought I was the one who was unnecessarily mean to texters.
Well, I mean, come on.
No.
What are we talking about?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. Ken, you should go back to just ripping me about the Lions. That is fair. I have to take all those. But, yeah, I did. Yeah, come on. Yeah, one 100-yard game. DeAndre Hopkins has been their best player this year.
Yes.
Other than Nick Folk.
Well, there's that.
Nick Folk. I mean, like they're three specialists and DeAndre Hopkins. And, you know, still Jeffrey Simmons is really good. But, yeah.
Yeah.
DeAndre Hopkins has been really good.
He's made big plays in every game.
He's hard to cover. Sometimes he doesn't get the ball because the quarterback's on his backside or the quarterback misses a throw, but he's really good.
He's been very good. So I say all that to say they're 2-4. They've been in this spot before. I just don't know that the solutions are readily available. And now on top of that, your quarterback's hurt. So what's going to be – how long is Ryan Tannehill going to be out? Is this a situation – the other part of the Tannehill thing that we've not talked about is like from his standpoint – is he – like last year he has the tightrope surgery. He's obviously trying to get back as quickly as possible. And we saw what happened. He came back and then he got hurt again and it just became this long-term thing for Tannehill. I wonder this year if either the Titans look at him or if he looks at the situation and says, you know what, we're just going to rest up and get healthy. And if it takes 4, 5, 6 weeks, then it takes 4, 5, or 6 weeks and I'll be back after that. But I wonder, like, does Tannehill approach it the same way that he did a year ago when he was so much in a hurry to get back and he ended up being a long-term thing because of it?
No, it's a great point because if you're him, yeah, it's really interesting. If you're him and you don't play again, well, this is what you are. I mean, look, anybody who's looking at Tannehill in the offseason has to be able to see that he played better than the numbers suggest. The numbers are terrible. If you come back, are you going to have a chance to play? You know, that's – But I would agree that, like, you should not rush it. Absolutely. Look, you're long. I've got to think. I don't know. I'm not a doctor. I'm not even a Twitter doctor. But I've got to think if you just did the same injury that needed a tightrope surgery last year to come back quicker, you don't want to mess around anymore.
No.
And you're going back behind that offensive line. You mean, you maybe feel better that Andre Dillard isn't playing anymore, but – you still can't feel good about that.
That's the thing. Like, this is what separates me from elite professional athletes, among many other things. Like, yeah, you know what? I think I'll take my time getting back behind that offensive line. I'm going to give this about, you know, 6 or 7 weeks.
Yeah.
We'll let the kids play.
Yeah. Yeah, I absolutely. I mean, look, there's also – I mean, one of the best jobs in the world is backup quarterback in the NFL.
It's okay? True.
But, like, I mean, I honestly – I'm telling you. I keep getting texts. John, thank you. Yeah, texts about the Lions. I wish I'd never said a word about the Lions. I swear to you all, if you took Ryan Tannehill healthy without this injury and just replaced Jared Goff with him, he'd be having the same success. I swear to you. He'd be having the same success. I mean, there's so much more to this than just the quarterback. And right now the Titans are so deficient on that offense other than Hopkins.
So what should it be moving forward?
And Derrick Henry. I mean, obviously Derrick Henry's still really good. By the way, he had 12 carries for 97 yards yesterday. We haven't talked about that.
Yeah.
He had a 64-yard run, which is the longest run he's had since before he broke the foot. So he's pretty good.
Yeah.
And Spears is pretty good too.
Well, and then there's the question of why is he only getting the ball 12 times? And then you look at the total plays and Titans
exactly.
Barely had the football yesterday.
Right. So the 20 carry thing isn't possible if you are 0-9 or 0-8 in your first third downs. You have 46 plays. The Ravens had 70. So you can't give them the ball more because you can't do anything.
615-737-1025, our phone number. So what should the plan be at quarterback if Tannehill can't go? Is it the Malik Willis show based on what we saw yesterday? Or should Will Levis get the opportunity for the Titans move forward? We'll take your thoughts on that. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Nick Keyser here with you on this Monday morning. A disgusted Joe Rex Road, as we've just discovered that Kirk Cousins... also a big Creed guy after yesterday. Vikings win, and he credits Creed in the post-game speech to making the difference in the win against the Bears.
Sorry, but I'm done with you, Kirk. You know, someone had a nice tweet. Titans should find out if you have a QB on your roster or go get Cousins. Bond Welch with a good tweet there. I agree. And then I find out that Cousins listens to Creed. So, nope. Don't do it. Can we go back to – I mean, I'll take Laura Branigan Gloria over and over again. Bring back the St. Louis Blues musical taste over people playing Creed right now. What are we doing? What are we doing in this country?
I'm just saying, Vikings win yesterday after playing Creed, and the Rangers, it's been kind of their mantra of the postseason, and they win in the divisional series and now have taken a one-game lead against the Astros in the ALCS. So
like, I want to
maybe the joke's on you.
Maybe. I don't want to hear it, and so I guess I have to root for the Astros against my better judgment because it's hard to root for the Astros. It's hard to root for them, but I guess I may have to.
Let's go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in Steven. Steven, good morning. Thanks for calling in.
Morning again. I spoke to y'all earlier today about the question y'all had about what the Titans should do at quarterback. I mean, I don't know the rules, all the regulations and everything, but with the best of terminology I can come up with, here's what I would not suggest, but I mean, here's my idea. Deactivate Tannehill or whatever the proper terminology or whatever it is have to do. I would not put Willis or Levis behind that line. You're asking for potential career-altering injuries behind that line. I would try to go out and see if you can sign a good backup, like a 1A type quarterback somewhere, just to ride out the rest of the season. That's the best I can come up with.
Thanks for the call, Steven. Appreciate it.
We allow that two calls in one show. That should be like against the rules, something like you can't win a contest, you know, like a month or right 2 months.
So
whatever.
Keezer lets people just do whatever
I guess
they want.
So we got no, yeah, you gonna run this show or what, man? What's going on?
Hey, what are you doing back there?
I thought he added some value. What do y'all think?
Sure.
I mean,
we appreciate.
No, I don't. I mean, I'm supposed to be mean to the callers and texters, right? Isn't that what I do?
That's
what
you yes, do. Yes, you see the clouds.
But no, I mean, I disagree with that. Like,
we have had people say that you're mean before.
Yeah, I know. But respectfully, I disagree about. First of all, who are you going to go out there and get someone and say quarterback?
Carson Wentz?
Yeah. I mean, the offensive line is bad, okay? But, I mean, how many we've said this before. How many teams in this league feel good about the protection their quarterback's getting? Six?
Yeah, it's not
eight?
Very many.
I mean, yes, they may get hurt. You also can get someone hurt behind a great. I mean, the Titans offensive line in 2016 turned a two-win team into a near-playoff team, and they had an all-pro right tackle, and they had a great left tackle, and Marcus Mariota, and they had a great center coming in, and Marcus Mariota broke his foot. Or broke his ankle. I don't think you can make the decision at quarterback. Like, because the offensive line isn't perfect, the conditions aren't perfect, so don't put him out there. I think you one of those two guys is going to play if Tannehill doesn't, for sure.
Well, it needs to be a matter of. It needs to be Will Levis. Will Levis needs to be the guy playing. And look, Malik Willis came in. I said it earlier in the show. Full credit to him for the work he put in the offseason and the strides that he made. I mean, yesterday you couldn't really tell. I mean, he holds on to the ball way too long. I mean, it's clear. He holds on to the ball. He's not trusting what he sees, and he's too indecisive with the football. Will Levis needs to be the one playing. Like, if Tannehill can't go, which I would be shocked if he's available to play against Atlanta, if it's a high ankle sprain like we think it is, then Will Levis needs to be your starter. Organizationally, you have made the decision to trade up into the second round, early in the second round, to go draft that guy to be your franchise quarterback at some point. Now, the plan was for him to not play this year. The plan has now changed with your quarterback being hurt. Will Levis needs to be the guy starting for the Titans if Tannehill's not going to be able to play. To me, like I said, Malik Willis deserves credit for hanging in there and working. He's not a starting quarterback. He's not going to be a starting quarterback in the NFL. You need to start to figure out what you have in Will Levis if Tannehill can't go. He needs to be the guy against Atlanta if Tannehill's not in there.
Yeah, I can't disagree. And it's different things. One is what gives you the best chance to win. Maybe Vrabel believes that the best chance to win is to go with Willis and go with an offense that really leans into Willis as a runner with Spears, with Henry. And, I don't know, you're running some – how about some triple option? How about some, like, Army-Navy triple option stuff and just, you know, just revolutionize the league? But in all seriousness, he could think that. But from an organizational standpoint, to your point, I mean, you moved up to get the guy – He is QB3, yes, as people have pointed out. So why would he become QB2? But he may have become QB2 had he played the whole preseason, had he played in all three preseason games. I don't know. I don't know if he would have passed Malik Willis. It's obviously there's very little gap between the two overall. But I agree. You saw it yesterday. I mean, Willis just – he doesn't trust it, and he holds it, and he had some great escapes, but it just – I don't see it. And I don't know what we'll see from Will Levis, but I do know that this front office went up to get him to be the quarterback of the future.
I got a texter that says, Willis versus Levis decision is like picking between RC Cola and Crystal Pepsi. There are no winners. This is from an unnamed texter on the text line.
What?
RC Cola. How are you going to rip? And Crystal Pepsi.
RC Cola is elite. Crystal Pepsi? I don't know which one you think is which, but, I mean, that's awful. Also, all of you people trying to tell me about Creed, just stop it. And Ken and Waverly.
Keep them coming.
Ken and Waverly. He had one catch for 20 yards Sunday. Doing great. Yes, Ken. I mean, have you watched the team play or not? Have you watched the team play football this year or have you not?
I mean, come on.
If you come away from these games and say, yeah,
DeAndre Hopkins sucks.
He's trash. I'm going to try to not be mean because you're a texter or a caller. So I'm trying to reform that. But come on, man.
Let's go back to our 102.5 The Game phone line and welcome in Neil. Neil, good morning. Thanks for calling in.
Hey, good morning, guys. Thanks for taking my call, man. It's been listening to you guys. First time calling in.
Thanks, Neil. Appreciate it.
Listen, if I have to start a quarterback, I'm starting Levis. I've seen Willis enough to know that he's not an NFL starting quarterback. Levis, young, strong arm. He's played in NFL style in college with Kentucky. I know his numbers weren't that awesome, but, I mean, he can't be any worse than Willis is. Plus, who knows, man, he gets rid of that ball quick, might start seeing some wide receivers make some plays instead of holding on to the ball so much. So, I mean, all the other quarterbacks that get drafted are getting played, so why not him at this point? So, thanks for taking my call, guys. But and also, Megadeth is the best metal band of all time. Love you guys.
There we go. Thank you, Neil. Appreciate it.
Shout out to Megadeth
baby.
That's more like it. Peace sells, but who's buying, baby?
Oh, man.
A lot better than
I do
Creed.
Love me some Megadeth.
Yeah, man. Heck yeah.
Well, look, as far as there's no way Levis could be worse than Willis, it could be. Well, I don't know. But that's the thing. I think you need to start to figure that out if Tannehill can't go. The interesting part is, like, did we see yesterday Ryan Tannehill play his last snap as a member of the Tennessee Titans? I don't know, because this could go a number of different ways. Like, if Tannehill's out for an extended period of time and Levis is playing, and like the wheels go off and they're 2-7 or 2-8 or 3-8, whatever it would be. Like, what's the point in putting Tannehill back in if he comes back, he's healthy, and the Titans are completely out of it? I don't know that there is one. And then on the flip side, like, if the Titans play well and they respond and Levis looks good, are you taking him out to put Tannehill back in if they found their way back in the mix? I don't know.
Yeah, like the only way I could see it is if they're winning, but Levis or Willis, whoever is at quarterback, is terrible, but they're like getting scoop and scores and punt returns for touchdowns, and
right. Not,
and they're managing to win and stay in it, but the quarterback situation is awful, and it's clear that they're still in it, but they also need Tannehill. Short of that, I think what you just laid out, it's going to be one of those two things, realistically.
Yeah.
And in both cases, yeah, you don't go back to Tannehill.
Gary on the text line says, Levis can take us higher. He can take us to where blind men can see. This is from hashtag Creed on the text line.
Yeah,
we've opened up Pandora's box, and I'm here for it today.
Someone asked me my thoughts on Pearl Jam. Pearl Jam is amazing. Saw them live here last year, one of my favorite bands of all time. The type of band that a band like Creed rips off but sucks at doing it.
Rob on the text line says, your show's musical taste is worse than Crystal Pepsi.
Who said this?
Rob on the text line. I assume that's a shot at you because my musical taste is awesome. Bring me more Creed.
Yeah.
Less Beatles.
Yeah, the Beatles are trash. Yeah, great, great musical taste there, buddy. Let's get in a big fight about music. Then we can
that way we don't have to discuss this atrocious football team.
Yeah.
We'll more on the Titans coming up next. 615-737-1025. They dropped to 2-4 after a 24-16 loss to the Ravens. Our final thoughts on the Ravens and the Titans coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, The Game.
Yeah.
Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Chase and Big Joe have your last chance to win tickets to see Kiss on Monday, October 23rd at Bridgestone Arena. This contest brought to you by Green Trees Company, a family-owned cannabis company and dispensary providing high-quality legal THC products for anyone seeking medicine, relief, or wellness. Make sure you are tuned in to Chase and Big Joe for that. They'll have you covered on that coming up here in the next couple of hours as the Chase and Big Joe show gets underway. Taking your thoughts, final thoughts on the Titans, 615-737-1025, our phone number. Let's go to our 1025 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in Adam in Portland. Adam, good morning. Thanks for calling in.
Hey, Robbie. Hey, so I have been crazy busy with the kids this morning, so I have not listened to a minute, but I'm sure you guys have crushed it. I'm upset that Tannehill got hurt. I'll say that. I don't want this guy to get hurt. I know I was begging you guys last week for a quarterback swap. Looks like I'm going to get my wish one way or another. I don't know what it's going to look like in the bye week, dude. I can guarantee there's going to be competition, which I think is going to be good for both of those guys. I know Joe's like, if you want to win, we'll see, man. I mean, I don't know. I don't think there's a wrong or right answer, and I certainly don't think this team is a quarterback away. So, I don't know. I just kind of leave it at this, guys. I've never in 24 years supporting this team felt so disconnected from a football team. Usually I'm devastated for 3 days after they lose. And now I'm just it's almost expected. And it just, I don't know. I feel like a lazy fan right now because this team has just given me nothing. So that's where I'm at, man. I hope we bounce back and light a fire in the fan base again.
Thanks for the call, Adam. Appreciate it.
That was depressing.
I would like people to – let's just go to our minds collectively and just revisit the Ken Wisenhunt era for a second.
Yeah, it can be worse.
It's not that bad.
Yeah, was Adam back then in 14 and 15 every week oh, another loss for Zach Mettenberger? No!
They're 2-14.
Come on, guys, you can do it. Yeah. In better news, Eric says dead milkman over Creed. Hell yes. And Henry says that maybe they should start listening to Cinderella and winning ball games.
Well,
let me tell you. Oh, man, I love that band. Hell yes, Henry.
Bring it up to Vrabel. Maybe that's the secret.
Cinderella, shake me. That should be our theme show of this show.
So one of the questions we've asked today is, are the Titans screwed after 6 games here in a 17-game season? Technically, no. But we kind of broke it down earlier. They're 2-4. To make the playoffs in the AFC, 9-8 is not going to be a guarantee. 10-7 may not be a guarantee, but 10-7 to me is where you have to get to if you think you're going to give yourself a chance. And that would require the Titans to win 8 out of their last 11 games. And I don't know if there's a world that I can even see where this team can win 8 out of their last 11 games, especially now that their quarterback has gone down and has gotten hurt. Now, I know that on paper their schedule is about to get a little softer. Now, having said that, you still have to play Jacksonville 2 times. They look pretty darn good. You have to play Miami. Seattle looks pretty good. The Texans are 3-3.
You get to go to Pittsburgh on a Thursday night.
You get to go to Pittsburgh on a Thursday night.
That'll be fun for whoever's behind center.
Tampa Bay is better than I thought they would be.
They're not bad.
They're not bad. And then there's the Colts who have already beaten you once this year. So it's almost, I'll just be honest with you, it's almost impossible for me to get to 8 out of their last 11 games, them finding a way to win.
I can't get there. I think right now they are the third worst team in this conference, and I'm not sure 10 wins. If you look at the AFC North and AFC East and what a lot of the teams in both of those divisions are doing right now and could do, I'm not sure 10 wins get you in. It won't win the division. So I think they're hosed. I will say this. 4 years ago, so thought the exact same thing. Shoot, 4 years ago, they lose at Carolina way after the 2-4 start with Tannehill playing pretty well. They're done. They're not making the playoffs. So, happy to be wrong again, but it's hard to see it. I can't get there.
Let's go back to our 102.5 The Game phone line and welcome in Chris. Chris, good morning. Thanks for calling in.
Good morning, guys. Hey, I just wanted to – I'll be real quick. I just wanted to state that I'm really tired of the trash talk and I hate for D-Hop. I don't get it. Like earlier, have these guys been watching the games? No.
It's one guy, to be fair.
Yeah, well, okay. Yeah, I got you. But you don't want to be mean to the caller, so I'll be mean to him for you. These guys are idiots. I love D-Hop. I think he's doing well. I'm glad we got him. You guys have a great day.
Thanks for the call, Chris. Appreciate it. I mean, D-Hop's been the least of their problems to this point.
Yeah, he gets open. He gets open all the time. And whether he gets the ball or not is a different story, and there's a lot of factors in that. He's open all the time.
Exactly. So, I mean, that's part of it, too. The deadline's coming up. You've got the week off this week, and then you've got Atlanta after that, and then the trade deadline is right after the Atlanta game. So, like, if you're Rand Carthon sitting there today, and Vrabel obviously is involved in these discussions too, but if you're those two sitting there today, what's your thought process on where this team's going right now and the trade deadline and everything that's involved with that? Because, I mean, I feel like that's kind of a decision that you got to make this week.
I kind of do too.
Because, I mean, you could win the Atlanta game, and then you're 3-4, and you say, okay, well.
All right. And then you got a short week before Pittsburgh.
Exactly. I feel like that's a decision of what you're going to do at the deadline that you've got to make this week. And then there's the rookie quarterback part of it. Like, is Hopkins going to be on the block? Is DeNico Autry going to be on the block? How much do you want to tear it down if you're Rand Carthon and the Titans, if you decide to go that way to try to get some draft capital?
And look, if you do decide this week, yep, you got to sell off, you got to get some draft picks. You're admitting after six games, after a 2-4 start, that your offseason plan was trash.
Yes.
So that is a big admission. That's a big deal. I mean, if I'm the owner of this team, I'm like, okay, so you guys talked me into this, and now no, it's bad.
Six games in?
Six. So, I mean, there's a lot of things you got to consider here inside that building. Outside, I think there's a lot of the same thought, and it's very easy to say they're not going to do anything. You got to sell up. You got to play 11s. All this stuff. Very easy for us to say that. In that building, there's a lot of things to consider when you think about those conversations and answering to an owner who fired a GM midway through a season.
Yep, no doubt about it. Let's quickly go to our 102.5 The Game phone line and welcome in Pat. Pat, thanks for joining us. Got about 30 seconds.
Oh, what's going on, guys? Good morning. Man, we already know what's going on with Tannehill. We know who he is. I don't think it's time to tear anything down yet until you put Will Levis out there and see if he's the man or not. If he's not the man, let's win 3 or 4 games, get a top 5 pick, and go with someone in the next draft. And it's as simple as that. We know Malik's not the man. He got sacked 4 times in 3 minutes. So after this bye week, we got to trot out Will Levis. I don't care if Tannehill's healthy or not. You already know what he is. Let's do what happened when we were 2-4 last time. Let's get a new quarterback. Let's see if there's a spark. If he's not the man, at least we know. At least we tried.
Okay.
I appreciate it.
I'm going to jump on this real fast. Let's be mean to the callers. I'm not going to be mean, all due respect. If we see what Tannehill's numbers are in his performance because of this offensive line and all the issues, how are you going to know if Levis is the man or not? We can talk about this more. You're not going to know, I don't think, anything. You're going to get a better idea.
Right. If he goes out there and is terrible and is under pressure the whole season, if he's in there, what's that going to tell you about Will Levis?
I don't know. I mean, whoever is behind center for this team right now has a tough time.
There's no question about it. We got a lot to get to on the quarterback front this week for the Titans. We'll be back 6 a.m. tomorrow to discuss it all. Chase and Big Joe coming up next. You're listening to 102.5, 106.3, The Game.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Spring is sprung, and big savings are in full bloom at Menards. Visit Menards Garden Center for everything you need to get your garden growing. Choose from hundreds of beautiful, colorful flowers, lush trees and shrubs, and everything in between. Menards Garden Center is back in bloom. Stop in today to get your garden on. Check out fresh deals happening now at Menards. Save big.